two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on in. It's another edition of Jazz Notes right here on the KSL Podcasting Network. Alex Keery joining me today, Scott Mitchell on Jazz Notes. We, of course, host Unrivaled during the week from Monday to Friday, 9 to 7 p.m. on KSL News Radio. You can always dial us in there. More importantly, though, let's get right to our guest, Coach Gordy Chiesa on the horn here with us today. The Jazz get the win last night, 100-89 over the Rockets. A nice W considering that they had started out 1-2. But the season is a long one, Coach, and that's one of the things that we wanted to talk about. You don't get too worried about maybe a slow start to the season. I mean, this isn't the NFL. I mean, if you get off to a slow start in a short season like that, you're kind of doomed. The NBA is a longer race.
You very much also. But with the NFL, the physicality is always there. With the good teams in the NBA, also is physicality. So the Jazz are 0-2, ironically, at home, and 2-0 on the road. And in both victories, the Jazz, their physicality on defense took over. So it's interesting. Usually speaking, at home, the home fans energize you. Usually shoot much straighter. And on away games, you're not tentative, but you're hesitant sometimes. The Fred make mistakes, but the Jazz are the opposite. Last night's game is quickly, you know, with the Jazz over the Rockets is Donovan Mitchell. He basically attacked the switch-happy Rockets, no-stance defenders, and that was his breakout game of this season so far. And if you're a Jazz fan, let's hope that it's the start of something big.
Speaking of Donovan Mitchell, he kind of mentioned early on the season that, hey, he feels like teams are maybe defending him different. And Matt Harfring actually said that's kind of BS. He said, Donovan came on the scene last season. People were plenty aware of him last season. And he got different looks. He doesn't feel that he's being guarded different. What's your take on that?
All right, I'm going to agree with Matt Harpring in the sense that his one-on-one defensive players, whether it's switch or whether it's mano-a-mano on him, they're on his body much longer versus playing off him, giving an elite athlete a running start with ball skills, and then he's in an attack mode. So the physicality of the defensive players where they're on his body, meaning on his hip, whether it's a curl screening action or whether it's off the dribble, they're staying much more in front of him. So he's got to counterpunch that. He did last night, just quickly, was that he caught the ball in rhythm. He caught an attack versus, we call it catch, pause, and then probe. And by that time, the defense can make a second surge and get into a stance. So it's more physical against him, and the help defense is rotating earlier to challenge him in the lane.
Coach Gordy Chiesa joining us here, Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery. And as we look at this season, and everyone wondered, and we've talked about, and I know that it's probably overplayed, the quote-unquote sophomore slump that could happen, and this was a breakout game for Donovan, 38 points, and he was playing kind of, he was playing the kind of inspired ball that people saw him at the end of the year when we already kind of found out that he was a good ball player. I mean, so when you say a breakout game, is there even such a thing as a sophomore slump? And can you get in your own head like that too?
Well, every athlete has an element of self-doubt some of the time in their career arc. It's perfectly normal to have self-doubt. But with that said, you make things happen by being in attack mode. The sophomore jinx, that's more really when you're a sophomore in high school. And the big bad NFL or big bad NBA or big bad Major League Baseball is that you're a second year player, not a sophomore slump. So Donovan, he'll adjust. He's an intelligent man with high-level talent. Remember, this is a talent league. Most of the role players is the reason why they have a certain role because of their lack of either athleticism or length or movement. Donovan's got all that, plus he's got skills. So he's ready to roll. He just got to counterpunch now the first line of defense against him.
So the Jazz play Golden State and go toe-to-toe and lose in kind of a tip-back
dramatic bucket. Fashion, yeah.
And then of course they handle the Houston Rockets, two of the better teams. I understand that Chris Paul was out and James Harden obviously left in the fourth. But where are the Jazz in reality? You know, are they up there with those top teams in the West? Or is there a ways to go? Where are the Jazz and having LeBron? I'm not sure that the Lakers are there, but where do the Jazz fit in all of this when it's all over?
Scott, I have the Jazz finishing in third in the West, which would be tremendous.
Yeah.
I have them preseason at 51-31, which would put them at the third seed, so 3-6. And so they're really a solid team that's knocking on a deep playoff run. Now, the Jazz won the playoffs first round back-to-back seasons, and that's really commendable. Scott, I'll give you a reference point. The Portland Trailblazers, the way they play that perimeter shot-happy offense, which is tremendous regular season, they haven't won a game in the playoffs in the last 2 years. They got swept both times 4-0, 4-0. The Jazz are the opposite. They won the first round both times back-to-back years. But with that said, as they go forward, they've got to find a third scorer. So Donovan's your first scorer. That's number one. Then they've got Joe Ingles. You love him to death, but he's not a shot creator, even though he's really one of the best players in the NBA as far as shooting. But he needs a screen. So Ricky Rubio is a creator, but can't finish a shot consistently. So they've got to either develop more Ricky Rubio into a shot maker, but they're still a one player away from a scoring talent. Because in playoff games, Scott, as you know well, it comes down to the fourth quarter where no matter what happens, your certain players, they're going to make plays out of nothing. And that's why they're difference makers.
Can the Jazz entice that type of player here in free agency? Is it someone they just have to hopefully draft for? Or is someone on the roster now that potentially could develop, like a Grayson Allen or someone who they just drafted?
Most likely it will be probably in free agency. Now, Donovan Mitchell is an intriguing guy because he's a major talent that plays to win. So that when other free agents, the summers go on, 2019, 2020, they'll be attracted to him. Especially Scott and Alex, if it's a European player. Remember that myth, Alex, for the last 25 years? Oh, Salt Lake City is this or that.
Right.
A lot of players don't want to come here. If you're from Europe, you think Salt Lake City's beautiful. That's why the Spurs are so great, with so many European players and South American players, made in Manu Ginobili. So people that are not native sons of the lower 48 states, is that Salt Lake City's actually beautiful.
Yeah, for sure.
So as they keep going forward, Donovan and Rudy Gobert, again, the Frenchmen, they're going to attract either American players, because they want to play with Donovan and Rudy. Rudy's the prime minister of defense, the anchor man in the lane, and Donovan's a major talent.
Sure.
So, Scott, as they go forward, they're going to try to save their money to get that guy.
Yeah, and well, one of the things you talk about, too, is once you get guys in who are maybe played in Atlanta or a New Jersey or a Chicago, and then they come here and kind of roll their eyes when they make their way over here in a trade or something. They get here and they like it. So it's this whole thing about trying to convince them to come to Salt Lake, because at some point they go, you know what? Like, you don't have the distractions like you have in Los Angeles. We want to win basketball games. And I want to hear about what Coach Quinn Snyder does and how important it is to have a guy like him at the head coach spot, because he's such a team guy. And how much does he create that for the Jazz to be a winning ball club?
Well, the head coach drives everything. He is the execution of culture within the building, and it starts with him. Even though ownership owns the team and management acquires the players, but it's the head coach in the middle of the inferno every day between his team, the competition, and with ownership and management. So Quinn Snyder, he gets it. He's an intelligent person that's got toughness with his team, but not crazy. To be an elite coach in the NBA and the NFL, you've got to be demanding without being demeaning. And that's that unbelievable fine line, Scott, in practice, you know, where a guy makes the same mistakes all the time because he's not concentrating or he has a temporary amnesia. And that's your greatest coaching is when you get that guy to the sideline and correct it so it doesn't affect the group think. Because he's not paying attention or he's having a bad hair day, except you fill a blank in,
no,
whatever
I,
it is.
I totally get that because Coach Shula, he wasn't demeaning, but boy, was he demanding.
Right.
I mean, you knew right where you stood with him.
There's the difference between being mean and being really, really good at correcting something.
I always like to say it like this, where he told you what you needed to hear, not what you wanted to hear. And I always appreciated that.
And that's what happened. And that was Jerry Sloan also. Unequivocally, yes. And that the players, when he said something, which is very infrequent, but when he did, there was absolutely no unquestionable gray area.
Coach Gordy Chiesa, he's one of the best. We love having him on the show. You can hear him also on KSL's Unrivaled. We'll have him on throughout the season and right here on Jazz Notes as well. For Scott Mitchell and Coach Gordy Chiesa, I'm Alex Keery. Download, subscribe, and comment about the podcast. We appreciate you being with us today. Until the next Jazz Notes, we'll see you then, everybody.